this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in a battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, this evening we're going to be talking to Joel and Kalishevsky. How is that, Joel? Is that a pretty good Kalishevsky?
That's perfect, yeah.
All right, fine. Well, Joel, you might imagine, is a, you're Polish, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
All right, fine. Joe would call me, and Joel, and we'd, he has been writing a book on Gnosticism. Now, to the average individual in America, to the average Christian, why, who cares about Gnosticism? Is that some crazy heresy that was around 1,800 years ago, 1,900 years ago, just about the time shortly after Christ was crucified? So what's that have to do with anything that's going on in the world today, or the price that tea in China? Well, let me tell you, it has everything to go on, to do with what's going on today, because you can't understand the beliefs of the Knights Templar, of the Rosicrucians, of the New Age today. You can't understand the beliefs of the Masons, the Theosophists, or any of the other secret societies that are out there, unless you understand the of religion of Gnosticism. Gnosticism is alive and well, and the fact that most Christians have no idea what Gnosticism is, and our ministers are not telling us, probably most of them because they don't know, although I suspect the Gnostics have infiltrated every aspect of the Christian church and the Catholic church and the Jewish religion. Because, you see, these are people who have a different perception of God. They worship a different God. Joel, would that be a fair appraisal?
That's absolutely correct.
I'm going to let you go ahead and tell our listeners how you got interested in, of all things, Gnosticism, and why this is so vitally important today.
Well, it wasn't my intention, and I really got myself in a bit of a soup with the whole thing, because it's quite big. The topic is huge, and my initial reasoning for writing a book was on a totally different topic. I was investigating for a couple years before really getting into it deeply. What I believe is a great British influence over America, and I would even venture to say that there's some definite control over America. And that concerned me because I'm an American, and I'm also a Canadian. I'm a dual citizen. And some of the things I read, I didn't really approve of. So I thought, you know, I thought I'd investigate that, and I had quite, I think, quite a solid foundation to prove the point. Many, in American history, there's many parts of it that show interference and control by Britain. So when I got into that, that also led me into bumping into the philosophies of the people. For example, the Enlightenment. And that was very powerful in the 1800s, and there was a number of people like Thomas Paine, for example, who wrote The Rights of Men, and even Thomas Jefferson, who supported him, that they believed in Enlightenment philosophy. And as I read further, I kept sort of bumping into the word Gnosticism, and I had to figure out, well, what is this about? And I tried to ignore it, and I went further and further, and I kept bumping into it in all different veins, like you've mentioned, Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, which, you know, Freemasonry is a big part of some of the origins of America.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a minute. Of course, remember that Freemasonry is really founded in Gnosticism. I bet not many Masons even know that. Well, Joel, you go right ahead.
Sure. Well, As I investigated and got into, you know, some of the philosophies, even back into Rosicrucianism, etc., things I didn't really want to get into, but I was led down the path, and it's a long path, and hopefully I'll take you down that path tonight, because I think it's the only way that I can explain this whole story. So, you know, investigating this, I found out that many of the politicians, people like Andrew Carnegie, the Roosevelt family, they all were basically into this type of philosophy. And so that takes you into sort of the more modern ages, right even into the 20th century. And I believe there's a controlling force in America, part of the government. And I think it's united with other forces in other countries that are planning a takeover of the world, basically. You can't say it in any other way. One world government, one world religion, and, as you say, a one world leader. But I would even say there's another thing, a one world man or the new man. And this was the thing, is this topic is so huge, I started to try to figure out how to place certain parts of it, and trying to divide it out into certain topics really helps when you're dealing with something huge. So I believe it is done in that way, where there's definitely a one-world government. We have it right now, the United Nations. There's a one-world religion, and you know, people like Constance Cumby and many of her followers are investigating that, and that would be called the Alliance of Civilizations from the UN. So again, you have the UN. And then also, there's what you'd call transhumanism. And now this is, there's a number of different words for it. They call it greater than human, human plus, post-humanism. And basically what it entails is eugenics, so breeding people, which has been going on for years, breeding certain characteristics, and favoring certain races, namely white. But also, in modern times with genetics, they're now going to be able to turn on and off certain genes and discriminate against certain people.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Kalishevsky. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joe really started out really wanting to research the influence that the Great Britain had on the United States. And, of course, there's always been a very close relationship with Great Britain, going all the way back to the time of the American Revolution. And although America broke loose from Great Britain, there was always the Anglophile element in it, the United States wanting to pull us back under the control of the British Crown. And people do not understand so much what's going on. They don't understand that certainly the Rosicrucians are a modern-day manifestation of Gnosticism, that Andrew Carnegie and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the Roosevelt family, were deeply involved in this concept of Gnosticism. And, of course, that basically we have these influences at every level of our society. And, of course, as Joel got into studying Gnosticism, he, of course, began to get more and more confused because there's so many aspects of this, and yet the average American has no idea. Well, a lot of people say that they believe in God. They do not tell you that they believe in a different God. And that's really what it's really all about, until you understand that. And they're controlled by other spiritual forces than the Christian would be. So you pick up the story there, Joel.
Sure. And I wanted to say also, let's not forget about the Rockefeller family, which is an incredible part of this in modern times. And then also Cecil Rhodes, who had his will to establish a secret society, and it says in the will to for the ultimate recovery of the United States as an integral part of Britain.
And that, people don't understand that Cecil Rhodes had seven wills, and actually in those wills he talked about his plan to bring America back under the control of the British Union. And, of course, anybody who remembers, of course, when the British attacked the Falklands, or when, I guess, the Argentina tried to take the Falklands from the British, and the British had an expeditionary force down there, only one country in the world really backed Great Britain, and that was the United States. And who is the country that's really backing the United States in Iraq today and in Afghanistan? Only one country is really sending large numbers of troops in to help, and that's Great Britain.
Yep.
America and Great Britain are united, but of course they can't tell the common people what's really going on. Only the elite really understand what is transpiring. So you go right ahead, Joel.
Sure. And I actually wanted to, I had a quote for you, specifically for you, because you've been very impressionable on me. I like your particular style. There's many other people out there that are speaking the truth. But you have it from a Christian perspective, and I consider myself Christian. I'm not a church-going person, but I believe the word is true. And that will probably surprise many of my friends, and they'll think I'm strange. But I believe if you look at the history, it's almost undeniable. And I think that is all actually part of the whole purpose of what I'm doing, is that through the history, I think you can prove the existence of Jesus. And now, you may not be able to prove from some document or something like this, but as I've said to my girlfriend, and she doesn't think it's a very good analogy, but I'll go with it. How do you see a black hole, Dr. Stan? Do you know?
How do you see a black hole? Well, because I'm not an astronomer, so you tell me.
Okay. Well, you can't see it. There's no light. So
no.
All you can see is the lack of light. So that's how astronomers know it's a black hole.
Okay, that's good definition.
Sure. So the light around it and the lack of light in the center. Well, might not be the perfect analogy, but I believe that's somewhat what you'd see with looking at the history revolving around the years of Jesus and afterwards, is there's a lot of activity, to disprove. A massive amount of people sent out in all different directions to confuse, to rewrite, to change, to do anything they can to discredit or subvert, mostly to confuse.
Right.
It's kind of like flak out of the back of a fighter jet. The missile can't hit if there's a million other pieces for it to hit. It doesn't know what to hit.
Well, that's like Dan Brown, the things that he puts out, Oprah Winfrey, people like this. They're really,
yeah,
really coming up with all these other ideas and the New Age movement, which is so, Marianne Williamson, all of these people coming up with alternatives of the Holy Blood, Holy Grail concept that, Mary Magdalene and Jesus were married. Anything to discredit Christianity, they sure go to great ends to that today, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and it's never-ending. It's all old, nothing new about it, everybody thinks it's new. It's completely ancient Gnosticism. So right there it shows you that it's being pushed for a purpose. Anything to make people believe that there's only one way, and that way is science. And at that, I'd actually like to... I've written quite a number of notes, and I just knew that there's no way I could do this. I'll have to do it all off the top of my head. But I do have a few quotes that are interesting. And you mentioned the New Age movement, which is completely integral with this. And that's the reason I called you. You'd mentioned one of your shows that Constance Cummings' book was going to be published. And I thought that was great. I'd like to get a copy. I've never read it. I can't find a copy. And it's probably one of the most important books written in maybe the last 100 years or longer, about the New Age movement and its origins. And I just wanted to say something about a very influential book, another one, quite different, called The Secret Doctrine by Helena Blavatsky.
Helena Blavatsky, right.
Yeah. Something I didn't know for quite a long time. I knew the influence it had over the Nazis, and supposedly Hitler kept it at his bedside, and I always read these things and never really went and tried to get a copy. And you can get copies off the internet, like many old books, which is one of the amazing things about the internet. And I found some ancient texts there, which are quite amazing. But the subtitle to The Secret Doctrine is The Synthesis of Science, Religion, and Philosophy. Now,
I think for our listeners out there who do not know who Helena Petrovna Blavatsky was, she was a mystic, and certainly sometime in the 1870s she formed something known as the Theosophical Society along with Colonel Olcott. And basically what she did is she taught people how to contact the other dimension, and some of her most famous disciples are people like Thomas Edison. And of course, what people don't understand is that Thomas Edison, this great inventor, all came up with his ideas after going into a trance-like situation, and then these ideas for the electric light bulb came to him, for the motion picture, for the phonograph. So many of the things that of course we utilize today came from the mind of Thomas Edison, who was able to contact the other dimension, in my estimation. But he was an avowed follower of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, and of course his closest friend was a man named Henry Ford, who was also involved in spiritualism. But very few Americans know this part of history. Arthur Conan Doyle was part of it. Of course, in the last century, why Adolf Hitler, Margaret Sanger, certainly many of the leaders of this eugenic movement, all part and parcel of this theosophical movement, which worships a different God. Go right ahead, Joe.
Okay, that's why I wanted to be on your shows. I think maybe one of the only persons that would actually understand what I'm talking about.
Well, let's hope that our audience does, and I to our audience, this is really very important, and this is why we're going to have Joel on for 2 hours. Go right ahead.
Okay, and we're going to start, easy here, and then we'll go backwards in time. And I have a concept that because this is such a huge topic, it's going to go way back in history. I kind of thought of different ways of presenting it, and I thought quite a while ago actually that the best way to represent this history of this topic is an enormous tree, a giant tree, and the future or where we are now, the present, is up at the top in the leaves, and as you go back down, there's all these branches. And there's all these branches that lead you back to Gnosticism, which is the trunk of the tree. And then you go down into the roots, and then there's the roots of Gnosticism, which is even more interesting than Gnosticism. So we're not just going to leave it at Gnosticism in, year 100 or 300. This goes way back, and how you can follow it back is to follow the philosophies back. And it's not really that hard. I haven't heard anybody that's done this, and I'm kind of shocked at what I've found, and I think it explains today. I think it explains a lot of what we're dealing with today, and the what we see on the news today is almost complete fantasy, or it's mixed in with fantasy. They'll tell you about some horrific event, and then they'll have a comedy sketch after that. It's all psychological. It's you could say it's even mind control, and that's also a big part of these sects is influencing the mind, changing the mind.
Well, the thing is really, of course, what it is we do not see reality. This is like of Plato's Parable of the Cave. And those people who don't know the story of a group of men and women taken captive, taken into a great cavern where they were kept for many years in chains, and in the center of the cavern they burned an eternal fire. But they were chained, so all they could do was look at the wall of the cave, where they saw these shadows projected by the eternal fire. They never saw reality. And, of course, really this is where we are today. Very, very few people see what's really going on. And of course, many interpretations of the parable of the cave. But one of it is that there's a real reality, and that is in the supernatural realm. All we see are occasional reflections of that, the dancing shadows on the wall of the cave. Now, that is the traditional explanation. There are many other explanations for the common people, but you out there in the listening audience, you're among the elite tonight. And you'll understand it was all an introduction to the other dimension. So, Joel, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Sure, and that's, you know, your introduction to all of your shows, I think it's an amazing introduction. Every time I hear it, it makes me feel a certain way, like that this is what we're facing. How do we put our finger on what reality is? And, you know, since the Bush administration's in power, reality has really changed a lot.
Right, it sure has.
I mean, I can hardly remember what it's like before they got into power. It's almost that bad. And, you know, some people say, I rail against the Bush administration. Well, I think they're a great part of this, and I think they're also, they're questionable in their religious beliefs, and that can be expressed in a number of different ways, and I don't want to, you know, get into that at the moment, but there's a lot of evidence that shows that, you know Bush Jr. may just not be a Christian, or the Christian type we believe in. But I had a quote for you, and special for you, Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, right. For the people out there who don't know, I wrote a book called Brotherhood of Darkness, which was basically based upon the story of the murder on the Orient Express, Agatha Christie's wonderful murder mystery, where, of course, the detective who solves the crime keeps saying there are too many clues. Monsieur Perrault keeps saying there are too many clues, Here, go right ahead, Joel.
And that's what I found, too, is as I got into this, there's just too much evidence, and I'm wondering why no one's really talking about it. Sure, they talk about Masons and Rosicrucians, but it goes far beyond that. But the quote I found was, the impossible could not have happened. Therefore, the impossible must be possible in spite of appearances. Which is a bit of a tongue twister.
Right.
But and I also had another one, which relates to Gnosticism and also to the British-American situation we discussed, is Art of War, Sun Tzu, 600 BC. 100 victories in 100 battles is not the most skillful. Seizing the enemy without fighting is the most skillful.
Yes, that's true. Many, many variations of that. You know, victory is not as important as defeating the enemy without fighting him at all. That's absolutely true. And we're considered the enemy and we're being defeated because most people don't even know the war is going on.
Right, and we pay all of our taxes and the war machine keeps moving along. I'm from Canada, of course, and We're fighting in Afghanistan, and I don't know if anybody really knows why. It's hard for the politicians to even explain why, but apparently our government's going to lay out, I think it's $300 billion for weaponry over the next 20 years to, you know, save the people of Afghanistan who we've gone and bombed into oblivion. And there's more to that, too, of this sort of takeover of the world. It has to be done for a one-world government. Everything has to be homogenized and standardized. And if you're different, well, you're going to be changed one way or another. And however we have to do it, we'll figure out a way. And we'll get the people to rally the people to go along with it.
Well, of course, war is such an effective means of rallying the people behind the government. That was what Machiavelli said, and that's exactly what they're doing today. They're using the war to rally the people under the control of the government. We'll be right back in just a minute with Joel. All right, this is Dr. Stan, and Joel, you go ahead and put this story up there, because I think it's an important story that people need to understand, the Gnostic influence in everything that is going on in America today, and really going on throughout the world, going on in our churches, as we move towards the one world government, the one world religion, and the enthronement of the one world leader. Go right ahead.
Sure. And regarding Afghanistan, I happened to print a particular article. This is from the London Independent regarding Afghanistan. This is from February 4th, 2008, and I'd recommend everyone read this article. It's entitled, Revealed, British Plan to Build Training Camp for Taliban Fighters in Afghanistan. Now, when I saw the title, I thought, okay, well, there's not going to be much substance to this. So there'll be some confusion, and you know, this can't be true. And you read the article, and it just reminded me also of you often talk about how the Vietnam War, how America funded it. They funded their own enemy, and this is funding the enemy. If people can even grasp this, this is the deception we live under. The British are funding the Taliban. Now they got caught with a memory stick that was this has happened a couple times now, where these computer memory sticks are found, and there's classified documents on them. And what they found is that the Afghan government staff also claims that the EU peacebuilders handed over mobile phones, laptops, airtime credit to insurgents. They said the memory stick revealed plans to train the Taliban and use secure satellite phones so that they could communicate directly with UK officials. Now their claim is they were training these people to fight the insurgents, like turn them from being insurgents. And what's interesting is they intercepted phone calls that also, somehow they can intercept the Taliban's phone calls and listen to them and know all these things about them, but they can't catch them. And they also can't get rid of the opium, which funds the war and all these other wars that are going on that we don't even know about. But intercepts show the Taliban believed the British were helping them. And there's a particular person mentioned, Mansoor Dadala, who somehow they also know that he was kicked out of some sort of leadership role in the Taliban. They just mysteriously know what the Taliban are doing, they just can't catch him. Well, I thought I didn't recognize the name, and I found that 8 months before, and I remember this on Fox News, who likes to promote the war as much as possible, in 2007, June 18th, suicide bomb team sent to U.S., Europe, by Brian Ross of the ABC. Taliban military commander Mansoor Dadula congratulates Al-Qaeda and Taliban graduates sent off on bombing missions in Britain, Canada, Germany, and U.S. Now, I don't know if you remember that, but I really remember that story on TV, and they showed video and all these things. Now, this is to make us afraid that Taliban's really out there and they're going to come get us. The classic boogeyman. But then, 8 months later, we find out British are incommunicado with him, funding him.
They're the same man. Of course, it's exactly the same thing as with the Irish Republican Army, the number two man of the terrible Irish Republican Army that was bombing Great Britain and killing people up there in Northern Ireland. He was a British agent. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the other fellow was in charge of the IRA. He was the chief killer. He tortured and killed a number of people because they were suspected of being British infiltrators. He was also a British agent. And, of course, once he admitted this, why they went ahead and the IRA killed him. But people don't understand. We create the finest enemies money could buy. Who's funding the Taliban today? Why are they being funded by the Pakistani military? Who's funding the Pakistani military? Why, your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. This is really what you're saying, isn't it, Joel?
Absolutely. And it's just like Vietnam, where you say it best. I don't think I can repeat it as well as you. But how we funded the communists, who funded the North Vietnamese, who were fighting us, and we wouldn't bomb certain areas and factories and things like this because we wanted to keep the war going.
Right.
Yeah. And now people have to really sit back and understand that the deceit is so thick. And like, any lie, even in your personal life, if you ever said a lie or something, you tend to have to lie to cover up that lie. Well, what if a government's been lying for 100 years or more?
The media is controlled and is concealing the truth from the American people and is really playing on our emotions to get us to go along with these things and, of course, viciously attacking anybody who tries to bring out the truth by calling them conspiratologists. They believe there's a conspiracy. Well, you get out your strongest concordance for the Bible and you'll find out that God uses the word conspiracy over and over again. There is a conspiracy against God. Thank you. this is Art to Stan. Joe, go right ahead.
Okay, well, there's so many directions we go in, and I kind of thought we'd need 2 hours because we'd get into these little different topics, but it's all related, so it's definitely worth speaking about. I kind of wanted to get back to the New Age movement because that's the modern version of Gnosticism. And it just, once you understand Gnosticism, everything you see in the New Age, all the words, all the key words they use are Gnostic. And we have to understand the New Age movement came out of Madame Blavatsky in the late 1800s, right around the same time that Darwinism was being popularized and supported by the government. Also at the same time as Nietzsche was saying God is dead and writing numerous books on that type of a topic. I've read a lot of Nietzsche, and I know quite well what he spoke about. And some very interesting things, but kind of the rantings of a very unhappy man. But I wanted to read something from Barbara Marx Hubbard, and from the book of co-creation.
All right. Actually, Barbara Marx Hubbard is one of the richest women in the world. She is, my understanding, she's the heiress to the Marx toy fortune. She ran for the vice president of the United States, I think it was 1980 or 1984. I think probably 1984 against Geraldine Ferraro. Fortunately, she lost. But go right ahead.
Okay, and this book of hers, the Revelation, Our Crisis is a Birth, the book of co-creation, is funded by the Lawrence Rockefeller Foundation. She's also she was a speaker at Mikhail Gorbachev's State of the World Forum. She's involved with UNESCO, which is the UN's education department, which was brought about to standardize the world. Basically with a humanist education.
She was also a consultant for the Department of Defense here in the United States as well, so go right ahead.
I didn't even know that.
Right.
One thing that you'll see in all these people will speak about back into the ancient Gnostics is it tends to be this similarity where they're all channelers, channelers of spirits.
Now, channelism, of course, is when you, of course, are getting information from the spirits. Would that be right? Like a medium, really.
Sure. Yep, exactly. And she was a channeler. Madame Blavatsky was a channeler. Annie Besant, who followed Madame Blavatsky as a leader of the Theosophists. I'm not sure she was a channeler. I can't remember, but I imagine she was. They all seem to be. And people like
Albert. Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Joel. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joe was talking about Barbara Marx Hubbard. Barbara Marx Hubbard is one of the most powerful women in America today, certainly one of the richest women in the world, the heiress of the Marx Tory fortune, and of course she's also deeply involved in the occult, and of course she's been a consultant to the Defense Department. She's ran for the vice presidency on the Democratic ticket back in, I believe, 1984. She lost out to Geraldine Ferraro. But of course, the people must understand that this woman is a channeler. In other words, she doesn't write the things. They're channeled by a demonic spirit, in the case of the book we're going to be talking about, which is the Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation. Why, of course, incidentally, it was published by the Lawrence Rockefeller Fund for the Humanities, but this book is channeled to her, Joel is going to tell us a little bit about that book, a key book to understanding what is really going on within the occult movement today, because this is the rewriting of the book of Revelation. This is the revelation for John, but not from the point of view of the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, but from the point of view of the other side. Those who worship the other gods. So, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the title of the Book of Co-Creation. So this speaks of co-creating, co-creating with God, as if through eugenics or genetic manipulation we can co-create.
Well, I think the whole idea is that we indeed are God. In fact, that the recurrent theme within the Gnostics and the New Age, and so much of what's going on is today, is that we are God. If you read Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, which was featured by Oprah Winfrey, you get to the end of the book and it tells of the secret. You are God. You are God. Remember Shirley MacLaine there in that Out on a Limb, the movie, and she's standing there on the beach shouting, "I am God. I am God. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, this is exactly what was taught in the Garden of Eden when the serpent told Eve, and if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can be as God, and ye shall never die. So go right ahead.
And that is the key. What I've learned through many, many, many hours of reading is this is something that comes up over and over throughout history, way back to into the Greek, into Babylonia, pretty much as far back as you can go. And it's always about becoming God. But I'll read this quote now. You've read it on your show a number of times. It's probably familiar to a lot of people and people who listen to your show. Don't worry, we're going to get into like the heart of this, the actual history. But I think explaining today and the ideas of today will all really come about when you get back in the history and start seeing these same terms being used many, many centuries ago. But this quote, out of the full spectrum of human personality, one force is electing to transcend. One force is ready to so choose, given the example of one another. One force is resistant to election. They are unattracted by life ever evolving. One force is destructive. They are born angry with God. They are defective seeds. And I'll insert here, that's a very eugenics term. Eugenicists of the early 1900s, Rockefellers and the British, and also Hitler. I'll go on. There have always been defective seeds. In the past, they were permitted to die a natural death. We, the elders, have been patiently waiting until the very last moment before the quantum transformation. Now I'll insert here another New Age term, quantum shift is being used right now. And I'll go on. To take action, to cut out this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity. It's like watching a cancer grow, also another eugenics term. Now as we approach the quantum shift from creature human to co-creative human, the human who is an inheritor of godlike powers, you will be as God, right? The destructive one force must be eliminated from the social body. We have no choice, dearly beloveds. It is a case of the destruction of the whole planet or the elimination of the ego-driven, godless one force. And when she says godless one force, she's talking about a different God.
Yeah, of course, but she's also talking about you and me, so we don't want to go along with their God. Go ahead.
No. Who, at this time of planetary birth, can, if allowed to live on to reproduce their defective disconnection, destroy forever the opportunity of Homo sapiens to become Homo universalis, heirs of God. Before this stage of power can be inherited by the God-centered members of the social body, the self-centered members must be destroyed. Fortunately, you, dearly beloveds, are not responsible for this act. We are. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse death.
We are the riders of the pale horse death. You see, they understand Revelation 6:8. Ladies and gentlemen, get your Bibles out, read Revelation 6:8, and that's really what it's all about, the riders of the pale horse. We are the riders of the pale horse death. In other words, we are going to carry out what has been predetermined by God. And because they're talking about their God, but we believe our God is smarter than their God. Unfortunately, their God is in the position of power today, for indeed evil is on the throne. It's so important for Christians to understand that these people intend to carry out the directives of God, only they think that when it's all over, their God is going to win. So go right ahead.
And there was just another sentence to that. The end here. It just says, we come to bring death to those who are unable to know God. The riders of the pale horse are about to pass among you. Grim reapers, they'll be separate. They will separate the wheat from the chaff. This is the most painful period in the history of humanity.
And of course, this was channeled from a demonic spirit to Barbara Marx Hubbard. mm-hmm. one of the wealthiest women in the world today. And you can go up on the Internet and read about her there. The average individual doesn't hear about it. You're not going to hear about it from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or so many of these so-called conservative writers. Some of them don't know. Some of them are actually there simply to deceive and to mislead us. I don't know which it is, but under any circumstances, we're talking about the reality of what's taking place today. We're all throughout the world, this very day, there are food riots. People are hungry and starving to death in all across the world. And, of course, we're seeing new diseases developing, and we're hearing increasing talk of war, possibility of even a preemptive nuclear strike coming on Iran in the near future. And when you start a war, ladies and gentlemen, you never know how that war is going to end up. But you go right ahead.
Sure. And there's a number of things I want to add in that, for example, that quote, I've heard different versions of it because there were different versions published, but there's a few things that I wanted to reveal tonight. For example, when you're discussing this the pale horse, the Greek word interpreted as pale is other places in New Testament translated as green or pale green. So could it be a green horse? And what does that mean? Well, I would say that this fraud that's being perpetrated on us of global warming, a proven fraud, and I have a quote to substantiate that it is a proven fraud. It's invented by the Club of Rome. And these people are all interconnected. And they need to make a crisis. And crisis creation, that's the name of the game for them. And it's all synced with all the countries that are part of the UN. I would say virtually, I would even go out on a limb that maybe every country. I don't even know if Iran is an enemy or not, or if that's just being used as a big play. Because the most important part of this whole game, and to them it's a game, it's like very complicated chess, is to have us acquiesce to their will. And that's another thing that's brought up many, many times in the Gnostics and in Hitler and Nietzsche and back through into the Greeks is the will.
Don't forget about Niccolo Machiavelli, who is, of course, one of their heroes.
One of their heroes. And I was just going to try to find my quote on this.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that these ideas go back literally thousands of years, and you can trace them all the way back into ancient Babylon and Greece and the Sumerians, but it was always to be able to contact the other dimension. And, of course, if you really wanted to be powerful, you would tap into the other dimension. Many of the kings, many of the emperors, many of the... certainly they all had a priest or a medicine man or a wise man or a spiritual advisor. Every time you see anybody in a position of power, there's always a spiritual advisor behind him. And many of these actually were able to tap into the other dimension. Remember the story about Moses, and he goes to see Pharaoh, and he says, you know, let my people go. And he takes his staff, and he throws it down, and it turns into a serpent. And then what happens? The wise men, the priests there, who are working with the Pharaoh, they throw their staves down, and they turn into serpents too. So they can have these supernatural events, but of course, why God's serpent, Moses' serpent, devours the other serpents. But there is this constant battle. Is there supernatural things that go on? Is this simply a fairy tale? No, I believe there is a supernatural world out there, and we see all sorts of manifestations of it, but most people really can't believe it. They think, the UFOs are aliens. They're not. They're demonic manifestations. There's the cattle mutilations. There's the crop circles. The weeping we see here about the weeping statues, the weeping blood or the weeping tears that people can go and watch them. This is not, some of them may be a hoax, but some of them are really very real. Manifestations of the other dimension we're talking about and that Joel is talking about. Would that be a fair statement?
I think so. I try to steer clear of the UFO stuff just because it starts to make people think you're off on a limb or something, but I'll say that I'm undecided on the topic, but one thing I'm sure about is that it's not from aliens from outer space.
Right.
One of the very first pictures drawn of a gray alien was Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, and that depiction was the first of a gray, as they call them, with the big eyes and everything. So, you know, did they come and visit him? I don't know, but it's interesting how even the UFOs come out of the Satanists or the Luciferians. I did find one quote, and this is previous to the other quote I was going to give, but I found this book in a bookstore for about 50 cents. It's called The Mankind at the Turning Point, the second report to the Club of Rome. And I already knew about the Club of Rome, so I picked it up for 50 cents. And this is the successor to the Limits of Growth book, which was basically telling us we're all going to die, overpopulation, food shortages, all these things that they're really pushing today, especially with people like Al Gore, the great humanitarian, and wants to save the planet after his family made all their fortunes with Occidental Petroleum. Quite funny.
He gives hypocrisy a bad name.
Yeah, absolutely. And his science is so flawed. I have a friend who's a doctor of biology, and we were discussing this topic of global warming, and he went in, and he couldn't believe what I was telling him, and he went and he did the research, and it didn't take him too long. He's a bright guy. And he found that it's a complete hoax. And he could not believe how all these scientists, and not all of them, though, only selected ones, are going along with this.
Over 30,000 scientists, I think 31 or 32,000 scientists have now signed Dr. Art Robinson's petition stating that there is no scientific evidence that mankind is influencing global warming. Global warming is taking place because we're going through a warming cycle, but this has nothing to do with man's activity. But that really doesn't matter what's true or not, since they control all of the media. And if you don't believe that, just look up global warming and all the newspapers. They will all tell you it's a reality, and it's all a lie. It's like suddenly declaring the polar bear an endangered species when the number of polar bears has actually doubled over the last 20 years. And why is it an endangered species? Well, because the Arctic ice cap is melting, and of course that means that all the polar bears are going to drown, by 2050. So we've got to declare them endangered today. Why would you do that when you got twice as many as you had 20 or 30 years ago? Well, it's all for the psychological impact on the foolish Americans who believe that the polar bears are endangered, then global warming must be a reality.
Yeah, and we all get taxed, and we'll enjoy giving our taxes, a world carbon tax, and buying carbon credits and fantasy that Al Gore and his friends dreamed up of, how you can buy some kind of credit, and that somehow that's going to improve the Earth. The logic, and that's the thing too, is the Gnostics and these people, they scream about logic and knowledge, yet if you do some just base thinking about it, critical thinking, their ideas just fall apart. But this quote I was going to say is the beginning of this book, and this is from 1976, the very first page is a quote: "The world has cancer, and the cancer is man." And they're quoting some person, A. Grigg, from 1955. And they use that as the opening for their book to prove to us that man is a cancer. Now, I know certain scientists believe that. I remember growing up in high school being taught similar things in science class, that we grow at an exponential rate, and like a virus, we'll, soon spill over the beaker and all these things. But what they want is they want to get our, I can't think of the right word, for us to agree to what they want to do. And if we're sleeping enough, if we're just watching TV and playing video games and doing whatever it is that Western civilization allows us to do without actually living in any kind of reality, then they're going to just keep moving ahead with their plan. And there, it is a plan. The New Age movement calls it a plan. They call it the plan.
And in fact, they even make the plan, the P in the plan, a capital P.
That's
it,
right.
It's a divine plan. So when they talk about the plan, it'll always be capital P-L-A-N. Go ahead.
That's right. And it's funny reading New Age books. It's almost every second word's capitalized. I'm not sure what sort of naming scheme they're going by, but
it actually has to do with these things are divinely inspired. That's why they this is esoteric writing.
That's right, and you see it back in time too.
Right,
back into the Greek as well.
Well, our guest has been Joel Kalishevsky, and we've been talking about Gnosticism. And well, of course, we talked during the the times we're off the air, and of course, we'll be doing a second hour on this. Gnosticism is a religion, and of course, there are really millions of Gnostics in the world today, and millions here in the United States. And who do they worship? They worship Lucifer. They worship the other God, the true God, who created the heaven and the earth. Now, I don't believe that as a Christian, but they do. Well, Joel, you go right ahead.
Okay, are we going to finish up the first hour and then...
If we're going to finish up the first hour, then we'll go to the second hour.
Okay. So this other quote, the first global revolution. Now, this has been quoted a number of times. It's not a secret. This is Club of Rome, 1991. And it's a fairly long quote. I won't read it all. It is really interesting, though. But
what is the title of the book?
The First Global Revolution.
Right.
And this would be the Green Revolution. And this is, you know, back in 91 and back in the 70s, they'd already dreamed this up. But I first heard this from Alan Watt. I believe you've interviewed him. He's quite an interesting guy. He has a radio show, and I don't agree with a lot of his sort of philosophies. He's kind of tight-lipped about what he really believes about God and such, but he has very good information. And this is the first I heard of this anyway. The quote is, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that we can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself.
Yes, that's a very, very well-known quotation. I think it's very important that they created this whole idea of environmentalism. And, of course, really, what are they trying to do? Well, they really want to destroy humanity. And you say, that's crazy talk. Well, they believe there are far too many people in the world, and they want to kill off the vast majority of them, don't they?
Oh, yes. And this also relates directly with other occult writings. There's one by somebody named A. Wilder, who was at this was at the beginning of a secret doctrine, I was surprised to see. This is an occult Gnostic philosophy. And this quote is, the problem of life is man. Magic, or rather wisdom, is the evolved knowledge of the potencies of man's interior being, which forces our divine emanations, as intuition is the perception of their origin. And initiation, our induction into that knowledge, we begin with instinct and end with omniscience, which is infinite knowledge.
And that is, of course, when we become God.
Yes. And it's always the problem with life, or the problem with this, is man. It's always man. Now, I was thinking about this.
Hold that thought. Just hold off, and we'll get into it the next hour, but hang on there, Joel. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I hope you enjoyed our introduction to the subject of Gnosticism here with Joel. And we must understand that Gnosticism is a very real religion today. It's manifested throughout the entire occult, whether it be the New Age, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the Masons. Certainly it is there, and it is a powerful molding force. Of course, it spreads over into the Club of Rome, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, certainly the Trilateral Commission, all dedicated to the same ultimate goal, the one world government, the one world religion, the new world leader. Now, certainly, of course, you'd be interested in getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We'll give you an introduction to what we're talking about and to the writings of people like Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and certainly Manly P. Hall, others who have written openly about who the true God is. Certainly Albert Pike, writing in the 1870s about the time Madame Blavatsky created the Theosophical Society. Certainly Morals and Dogma, written by Albert Pike, tells of the Mason who the true God is and tells you that Masonry is a continuation of these Gnostic ideas, tracing it back to Kabbalah, which antedated the Gnostics and, of course, is simply a codification of the ancient mystery religions. How do you contact the other dimension is what it's all about. Well, of course, what you really need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the secret, or I should say the forbidden secret, and then the syllabus that goes with that, the talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to have the documentation on the things we're talking about, and we'll actually get you some documentation from the publications of the Lucius Trust, which used to be, of course, the Lucifer Publishing House. There really are people who worship Lucifer today. When you understand that, everything begins to make sense. Let me suggest the pamphlets we have on the occult hierarchy, the cult hierarchy. They're the occult hierarchy that rules the world. If you'd like one of their pamphlets, it's called The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. If you get any of our other items and ask for it, we'd be glad to send you a copy without charge if you order anything else from us. It's The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy, which they claim rules the world, and that the Ancients of Wisdom, the Elder Brothers, are there. These are the forces that are truly guiding what's going on today. And they are going to very, very soon declare themselves openly. And what they're really talking about is the coming climax of history. Of course, we look upon that, the climax of history, as the time when the man of sin is exposed. And we're told in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the man of sin will not be revealed until there's been a great falling away. And I fully believe we're seeing that falling away today. Everything is in place for a great war coming up in the Middle East. And, of course, what we've seen over in Iraq and Afghanistan is simply an introduction to this terrible, terrible war that lies ahead. And believe me, when this occurs, America will not be exempt from terrible suffering. Because if God is just, he is going to bring justice on this country, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And what is the average American doing to oppose the evil that has swept our country? The fact that we can't even mention God or Jesus Christ or the Ten Commandments in school today? Of course, this was actually carried out by people involved in the occult within our Supreme Court who wanted to destroy the religious foundation of this once great Christian nation. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. So please go to our website at radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. If you'd like any of our catalogs for emergency food, certainly a health catalog, a regular catalog. If you want them actually printed, you'll have to request them. Otherwise, they'll be sent in CD form to use on your computer. You can watch our DVDs there at our website at radioliberty.com. Listen to our programs. Watch our, certainly read our newsletters. And then your job is to tell others about what's going on and try to explain to them that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Joel Kalisevsky, and we're going to be continuing our conversation about Gnosticism, and I suspect that after this evening, we won't even begin to really get into any detail on the subject. This is a massive subject, but Joel has been doing a good job of beginning to introduce our listeners to this concept. There is something out there. There's something mysterious, and it really isn't mysterious if one people tell it to you. There has always been, since the Garden of Eden, this battle between good and evil. And of course, not only good and evil, but between God and Lucifer. And there really are people today who worship Lucifer, which is what Gnosticism is really all about. And of course, perhaps Joel will get a little into that today, and the belief in Sophia, and of course, the difference between our God, who is, they believe is an inferior God, and the righteous God who gives people freedom. His name is Lucifer. Well, of course, as an evangelical Christian, I don't believe this, but I think it's vitally important that you understand how they believe if you want to be effective in this battle. So go ahead and pick up the story there, Joel.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Another quote, which is amazing, just so people don't think we're insane. This is from David Spangler from the United Nations, Director of Planetary Initiative. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. Now, the New Age movements throughout all their texts of various writers, which are all very similar, interestingly enough, it's always about the initiation. And there'll be four or five different initiations, but you won't necessarily know that this is happening to you. And it's my contention that our society for a very long time has been initiated into a new religion, which is an old religion called Gnosticism, and without our knowledge, which is very brave of them to do that. Humanism has its roots in Gnosticism. It goes back into the time of the Medicis in Italy. Where they were great supporters of humanism, of the art, where everybody thinks the art is wonderful, and much of it is. But a lot of the Christian art that they contracted was being contracted by people who are not Christians. They're a very evil family, and they ruled basically all of Europe for about 400 years, and their tentacles went into every country and into every monarchy. And they were heavily involved in the occult. And now, you mentioned earlier about the schools. Well, we're not allowed to teach any religion in our school. You know, God forbid that there'd be any argument against science. But humanism is a religion. It was determined in U.S. court that humanism is a religion, and I'd like to give credit to your friend Dennis Cuddy for that. I learned that from him, and I'd like to give credit to who I hear these things from, because they're very profound when you find out. So you're not allowed to teach any particular religion, but humanism religion is fine.
And of course, the thing is, the average individual has no idea these things are going on. They don't understand how it all ties together. They don't understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And that's why it's great to find a young man like Joel suddenly beginning to do the research on this. One of these days, we're not going to be around. Dennis and I, and we're going to need people like Joel and Ari, who's our producer, and others to carry on the traditions. You're right ahead, Joel.
Thank you. Another thing I wanted to say is the scientists, who many of them believe they're atheists, and they've been initiated without their knowledge into a scientific religion, which is a Gnostic religion. This is without their knowledge or consent. And this is what I find so amazing. And the New Age movement even admits that their goal is to initiate the world into their mysteries. They call it their mysteries. Well, we're in the last hour of this, and this is going to be a massive amount of history for anybody to even grasp. And from even myself, I've been studying this intensely for 3 years, and I just feel I'm only understanding it now. And the reason I mentioned the tree analogy earlier of history of the tree is it's so huge that if you don't see the whole tree, you will actually not understand what you're looking at. It's like looking at one square of a chessboard. It doesn't really give you a good idea of what's going on the board. And like investigating one limb of a tree, for example, Freemasons, you'll learn a lot, but that doesn't give you an overview of what has happened in history and where that comes from and how it relates. So let's get into Gnosticism. And getting a definition for Gnosticism is a fun thing itself. I finally realized this. I didn't really have a really good definition, and everyone I've read was really not good. Did not give a full idea of what it is. I'll just read off a few things I've created quite an intricate database system, and that's my background is in computers, so this has helped me a lot in looking into this, because it's so massive and hard for the mind to even keep it all in track. But under Gnosticism, of course, it's Gnosis, is knowledge in Greek, is Gnosis. Asceticism is part of it, which is people who deny themselves, like a priest who would deny himself sexual relations or any kind of pleasure. Docetism, which is denial that Christ is, not that he wasn't alive, but that he was anything but just a normal man. The key part of Gnosticism is dualism, and this will come up over and over again. And there's a few things I really want to get through tonight that I've never really heard on any show or read anywhere. And I think...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment here with Joel. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Joel is basically talking about Gnosticism. What is Gnosticism? Well, it is a dualism. And really, of course, what do you mean when you talk about dualism? Because I think it's so vitally important people understand that we look at the world one way. They look at the world in an entirely different way. In other words, the dualism, we look at the world, we could look at a glass half full, and they'd look at it as half empty. We would look as God, the God of the Bible, being, of course, the maker of heaven and earth, but they would look upon a different God as the maker of heaven and earth. So pick up the story there. What do you mean by dualism?
Sure, dualism, this is the key, and there's also another term, syncretism, and that's probably the most major key, and I'll get into that in a moment, but dualism is basically the belief that that there's two gods. And what there's even more than that, but there's a Godhead and emanations out of the Godhead, and it gets quite intricate and actually quite ridiculous when you read it. Hardly anyone can make head or tail of it. There's so many different versions of it, but to break it down essentially is you have in dualism, God, the Jewish God of the Bible, is the evil demiurge preventing man from seeing his divine origin. So you have a God that's above, supposedly above him, yet they admit that the God of the Bible created everything. Yeah, there's a God above him, and the God of the Bible created everything without anyone else knowing he was going to, and he's bound us all to matter, and that's one of the key things is matter is evil. We want to get out of matter. We want to become spiritual. And that's why these people have no belief in human dignity or life. that's why they'll go and kill a million people and not even think about it, because they're freeing them from matter. It's a good thing. Let me read a short definition that I've found that's fairly good. Gnosticism, from the Greek gnosis, knowledge, refers to a diverse syncretistic religious movement consisting of various belief systems generally united in the teaching that humans are divine souls trapped in a material world created by an imperfect spirit, the Demiurge, who is frequently identified with the Abrahamic God. The Demiurge, who is often depicted as the embodiment of evil, at other times as simply imperfect and as benevolent as its inadequacy allows, exists alongside another remote and unknowable supreme being that embodies good. In order to free oneself from the inferior material world, one needs gnosis, or esoteric spiritual knowledge, available only to a learned elite. Jesus of Nazareth is identified by some, though not all Gnostic sects, as an embodiment of the supreme being who became incarnate to bring gnosis to the earth. Now, I thought he became incarnate for quite a different reason, but this is what they claim. It's to bring knowledge. And I was going to also discuss the Demiurge. This is identified as the Jewish God. Now, this is also indicates all the hatred towards the Jews. Now, I'm not in favor of Zionism in any way, shape, or form. Quite opposed, actually. And I believe that there are certain people in control of that do not have the Jewish people, their interest in mind. And I think it is these people that are have control, as they've usurped every religion, and I'll show how they've usurped every religion, because this is pre-Gnostic as well. There was another definition that is actually quite good too. It says, one of the so-called philosophers in the first ages of Christianity who claimed a true philosophical interpretation of the Christian religion. Their system combined Oriental theology, Greek philosophy, and the doctrines of Christianity. They held that all nature, intelligible, intellectual, and material, are derived from the deity by successive emanations, which they call aeons. Now, the high god, if you really get down into it, all they ever do is worship light. It's all about light, enlightenment, illumination. And this is why you get the Enlightenment movement. You get the Illuminati. It's all about knowledge. It's all about secret knowledge. And it's also about an elect that gets this knowledge. So this is how ridiculous their philosophy is that, you know, Christ came to give us knowledge, but we keep it. You don't get it unless you're part of us. It's very twisted, and it's quite illogical if you break it down. They've basically usurped Christianity, as they've done to Judaism, and as they're now doing to Islam, in my opinion. This is as Constance Cumby says, termites from within, wrecking balls from without. And they have an unlimited amount of money to do this. So it's about changing minds, and I don't want people to panic about that. There's too much information here to digest. There definitely is. But what am I supposed to do with this information? It's too much. I can't do anything. Well, from what I'm gathering in researching this, and I've come to this conclusion, is it's not. You don't have to do anything with this. You don't have to go out and protest with a sign. What you have to do is know the truth and know that you're being lied to, because basically this is a war for your mind. Because when you know the truth, you're not going to be deceived by them. Now, you may be forced to do certain things, but I really think that this is the end game of their whole philosophy, is to just deceive you throughout your whole life. And they've been doing a very good job of it, and this has been going on for many, many, many years. And I have a nice little quote here from 2 Corinthians. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Very profound, and also very accurate when you look at like the current New Age movement, because all they do is talk about light and illumination and enlightenment. And also don't forget that Lucifer is the light bearer, the light giver, the morning star, the son of morning, the great initiator. They worship him, and that's what I'm trying to get across. And I wanted to get into a couple. There's so much to cover, but Gnostic philosophies are important. I mentioned earlier syncretism. Now, this is probably the biggest thing, and people should really pay attention to this. Syncretism is the key to the Gnostics, and it's even pre-Gnostic as well. But it is merging two religions together. So what the Gnostics did is many were sent out from Alexandria and Egypt and other areas in Syria and such to merge religions together. Now, this is very reminiscent also of Hellenism out of Greece. And this is what the Greeks did. They'd go out and merge their culture with other cultures. And they'd absorb some of the other culture, but they'd mostly destroy the culture and take it over. Now, I believe that's what's been going on in the world for many, many, many years by the different empires. And that's sort of one of the keys to my book, is that it's about following the empires. And the philosophies follow the empires. And the philosophies also follow the big banks and the big banking systems. Because there's a lot of people that know all about, you know, at least they believe the banks control the world. And you can follow this stuff with the banks.
Well, I think what people don't understand is there are powerful spiritual forces at work within these banks in controlling the bankers. And in fact, this whole modern-day banking system, in many respects, began with the Templars. And then, of course, but at that time, the charging of interest was illegal. It was against the rules of the church. So the Templars could not charge interest on their loans. Mm-hmm. But, of course, then it was under Francis Bacon, who was a Rosicrucian in the early 1600s, who was able to convince the Anglican Church and eventually the Catholic Church that, well, a little interest was all right. As long as it was never before more than 3%, it really would stimulate the economy. Francis Bacon was deeply involved in the occult. He was a Rosicrucian. He was a Gnostic. And, of course, the next thing you know, where we are today, where you can be charged 25 or almost 29% interest on your credit card. How do we get there? These powerful spiritual forces working behind the scenes within our economic systems. Go right ahead, Joe. But I think that you're absolutely right. People have to understand the spiritual forces which are energizing this, the world banking and financial system.
Yeah, and what I found is, and this is purely by accident. Like I completely stumbled across this, and you can follow them through the philosophy that they use, and it's quite trackable, and because they can't get away from that, they can lie about everything else, but their philosophies keep coming up in time. So back to syncretism, the most important part is everybody or many people that study some modern conflicts and things like that are familiar with the dialectic, also known as the Hegelian dialectic by some. Well, Hegel did not invent it. This is ancient. And it's basically taking two opposing forces and creating a third way. And is that the music I hear?
I'm afraid it is. We're going to be a short break. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, our guest is Joel Jaliszewski. We're going to be talking about the third way. We're going to be talking about Gnosticism. Fascinating subject. And there's so much to cover. But remember, there is another religion out there. And there are people who worship a different God. So when people tell you that they worship God, what God are they worshiping? Look and see what they're doing. Do not believe a word that they say. All right, Joel, go right ahead.
Okay, well, back to the dialectic. Hegel did not invent it. as is sort of portrayed. So for people who don't understand this, it's basically the banker wants to paint City Hall orange, but there's a law against City Hall being painted orange. So he hires Dr. Stan, and he hires me, and Dr. Stan proposes it's painted red, and I propose it's painted yellow, and we go to court, and we fight it out, and it looks really good. And then we decide that we'll agree that it gets painted orange. That's a type of scenario of the dialectic. So you come to the conclusion you want to come to by taking two opposing forces and merging them together to create. Now, I would argue that the United States and Russia particularly are a modern-day dialectic. And we know that Russia was completely funded by Britain and the United States. Russian communism is a complete fraud. And we have all kinds of records of that. Anthony Sutton's books lay it out perfectly. The Russians had no infrastructure. They had no food. We fed them. We did technology transfers to Russia, built factories, built all the weapons. So we've all been fooled and scammed on that. And if people think that they couldn't, you know, do this again, maybe even today, with some things we're being told, consider how long we were all afraid of Russia and that they were going to drop the bomb on us. It's got to be one of the greatest scams of all time. So this is part of the dialectic or syncretism. And another way of looking at it, too, specifically with religion, is that, you know, you take, say, a good religion, say, Christianity, for example, and you merge it with some other religion. Well, you just diluted it by 50% at least, maybe more. And you mix things together and you confuse. And that Christianity was attacked straight off by the Gnostics. And I would suggest that they were sent out specifically by, there's all kinds of evidence of government forces being like the Romans or the previously the Greeks. The Greeks who became the Romans, essentially, they were sent out to do this because they had an opposing force they had to deal with. And this is a strategy, and it's also a mystic strategy. It's something called the law of opposites or the law of synthesis. And this says, states that the synthesis on two opposing or conflicting pieces of data will produce a new third idea that will not be a compromise of the original two. This law is used more in mysticism than in magic. It allows one to simultaneously hold two opposing ideas without feeling any anxiety or cognitive conflict. So this is another reason why we can see our politicians battle it out in the wrestling ring known as politics, and nothing's ever done and nothing ever changes. And Nancy Pelosi, you know, as soon as she became, you know, in charge, she was going to pull out of Iraq and all these types of things. Well, I knew that would never happen because I know the game. And she's done nothing. And there's no excuses. They just shut up about it. They go on to other things.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Joel is talking about the dualism that we see. We see the Democrats promising that if they're elected, they're going to pull American forces out of Iraq, so the foolish American people vote for the Democrats, and nothing changes. You know, and we find certainly George Bush running for the presidency saying, we're not going to be involved in nation building like that wicked, Bill Clinton. We're going to, go ahead and limit the power of government, and we're going to stick and we're going to promote, moral ideas, and he gets in power, and what does he do? Why, of course, he expands the power of government. He starts nation building, does exactly the opposite. But they say one thing, they do another. Dualism. And of course, the average individual can't figure out how this could have happened, how George Bush, a dedicated evangelical Christian, could have promised he would not be nation building and trying to create new nations. And yet, of course, that's because Bill Clinton had done that, and George Bush was very critical of him. And yet, of course, then when George Bush gets in power, he does just what Bill Clinton does. In fact, he does it even far more effectively and far more disastrously than Bill Clinton ever could have gotten away with. So pick the story up there, Joe.
Sure. I'm going to have to hurry through this because I want to get to some other things, basically like a timeline and how I got to some conclusions. But another big thing in Gnosticism is asceticism, I mentioned before. And one big part of asceticism is self-denial, self-punishment. It's also no reproduction. Families are evil. Creating matter, creating more people is evil. Now that is a huge one when you consider the Rockefellers, for example, who do everything in their power to reduce population. And then you have people like the guy that used to own CNN.
Ted Turner.
Ted Turner comes out recently and says, oh, yes, we must vaccinate all the children in Africa. I'm putting in so much money, and he got a bunch of Christians to go along with this, a bunch of churches. Well, Ted Turner, he talks about eliminating so many hundred thousand people a day that we're overpopulated, we must do it by any means necessary. Now, why does he want to go and save little black children in Africa with injections? Could it be perhaps there's another plan here? Maybe it's not to save them. Maybe it's to do something else to them. But I won't. I'm just saying it's a possibility and something people should consider, because logically it makes no sense why you'd want to go and save people when you want to actually get rid of them. But the other key thing with Gnosticism was docetism. As I mentioned, belief Jesus was just an illusion. When he was crucified, didn't really happen. Now another thing I wanted to get into was that. Now how I got into this, I got into the U.S. history. I made the mistake. I should have stuck with that, and my life would have been a lot easier. But I went back in to find out who funded the American Revolution, and it was the French. And this led me back into Protestantism, Calvinism, the Huguenots, which is a big part of who controls the U.S. People who are Huguenots, like the Bush family, like the Rockefellers, like the Roosevelt. You could go through the whole list. And where these people also were connected was in southern France. And with the Orangists also in the province of Orange, which was like a sovereign state in France, and they were allowed to operate as Protestants there until the Catholic French king finally decided to boot them out, but not before they had basically moved on into Amsterdam, into Holland. And they did a coup, and they took over Holland, and they killed the Stadtholder of Holland, and I can't remember his name, De Witt, I believe, Johan De Witt. And they ate him. They actually ate him and his brother. It sounds ridiculous, but they chopped him up and ate him, or ate parts of him. Now, the connection here also is with the Medicis, who also did the same thing in Italy. And it turns out that the Orangists were mercenaries for the Medicis. So I followed that along and went into Amsterdam. And shortly after they did this, the Bank of Amsterdam was created without any records of who owned the holdings of the bank. And shortly after this, in 1688, they made a secret agreement with the British, some aristocracy, to invade Britain. And there was the Glorious Revolution of 1688, where William of Orange came over and invaded and took over the country. Now, this is secret societies agreeing to take over a country.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Go right ahead, Joel.
Thank you. So Glorious Revolution, 1688. Shortly after that, Bank of England is created. All
1696, one of the most important days. 1696, 1694, but anyway, go ahead.
Shortly after that, they managed to scam the Scottish bank into investing a bunch of money, and they made them basically go broke and took over their wealth. So they were a huge banking establishment. Well, and then, of course, that was, you know, the big strength of the British Empire.
Well, I think it's important people understand that the establishment of the Bank of England, this was the first major central bank in the world. And, of course, they could create all sorts of money. And with that, they were able to fund the British Navy, the British Army, and Britain began then to dominate the world. When you can create money out of nothing, based upon the fact that everybody has to use your money because it's been decreed by a government which is indebted to the bank, then of course you can build up a tremendous war machine, and that's exactly what the British did. And from 1694, when they established the Bank of England, until about the 1930s, England really more or less ruled the world. And of course, then suddenly after the Second World War, America took on that job, and we did the same thing. We had a central bank to create money out of nothing, and we can dominate the whole world with this money we've created out of nothing. But there's nothing behind money that's created out of nothing. And one day, of course, the piper must be paid, and, well, of course, that's what's going on throughout the world today. But pick up the story there.
Sure. And there was a lot to do with the Medicis, because they were the power in Europe. In all the countries, they basically dominated. And they were behind a lot of the Protestant movement, but they were also behind the Catholics, where there were a number of popes that were Medicis, particularly Pope Leo X. And he basically went in and destroyed the Vatican, or whatever it was at the time, and destroyed a lot of the documents, and also sold off a lot of the artifacts. So these people were no friends of Christianity in any way. Excuse me, I have to switch phones. I'm going to run out of juice. Hold on.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, there's Medicis. Of course, they were a dominant force in the city of Florence for many years, and it was because that Niccolo Machiavelli had opposed the Medicis, that he was forced to leave Florence, and that's when he wrote his book, The Prince. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Joel, go ahead, pick up the story.
Okay, well, the Medicis are a huge part of the story.
The Medicis, don't you call them the Medicis?
Go ahead. Medicis.
Right.
I had to say Medici because I'm...
All right, fine.
Medici. But, so you go back through to their history, and it takes you all the way back to the early 1300s. And coincidentally, this is around the exact same time that the Templars were overthrown in 1307.
Right.
Now, I haven't established it perfectly, but there's some great indications that when the Templars were basically destroyed and they took off with all the wealth, it's rumored, and no one really knows this for sure, that they established in Scotland and they established in Britain and Switzerland.
Well, of course, many people believe that was the basis of the Swiss banking families.
Yes.
The Dutch Templar.
And I agree. I agree with that. There's certain things you can't prove, but through, you know, some like reasoning and logic, the Medicis come out of nowhere, and the originator of the family of, as far as you can go back, anyway, he was a knight, and he was involved with the Orangists as well, out of France. So, now what where you go from there is, this is very interesting now, in the history, you read certain histories, they say the Templars were sent out by the Catholic Church to go to the Holy Land and make way for people to travel there, et cetera, et cetera. Well, do some research on it, and you'll find that the basis of the Templars was the Cathars. Now, the Cathars were also established in southern France. and this is where the Catholics went and basically murdered quite a number of them, something like 10,000 of them. If you look at the origins of the Templars, it was Cathar families, rich Cathar families, that still held those beliefs that funded the Templars. And I don't know what they were funding them for, why they were going. There's lots of speculation that they were looking for something. Now, I'll just leave that to Dan Brown and those types.
Well, I really think, of course, the thing is that the Templars actually were deeply involved in the occult, and you can read the writings of Manly P. Hall and the lectures on ancient philosophy, and he will tell you, of course, that the reason that the Templars were destroyed was because they had found the secret, this Ankenorm, the secret of secrets, and that's why the Templars had to be destroyed. And, of course, what was the secret? Well, the secret was that Lucifer was God. Go ahead. And, of course, that was where they really got their power and their phenomenal wealth. It tapped into this supernatural force on the other side, which, of course, was in conflict with Christianity. And so the Christians destroyed them, and perhaps with good justification. Go ahead.
I agree. And so let's go quickly through a timeline, because I want to take you... I wanted to be there sooner than we are, but... we'll start with the Cathars. So this is around 1000. There's many different names for them. They're also known as the Neo-Manicheans, so the New Manicheans. And they were ascetic, so they practiced self-denial. They had the Book of Two Principles, dualism, docetism. They called themselves perfecte. They believed that only the elect were perfect, and they had names for the others. I can't recall them all at the moment. But what this leads you to is they were highly influenced by the Manicheans. Now, the Manicheans were around 215 to 276, and they came from the person named Mani, or Manes, which means discourse. And some say that he was a slave called Corbicus. Others say he came from a rich family. Well, I've done a lot of research and found out that Mani is a name of a slave in Phrygian language, and that's the area he was from.
Now, because their religion was very, the Manicheans were very, very close to the Gnostics, weren't they?
They were a sect of Gnosticism.
Right, right.
So there's many, many Gnostics. I've got like maybe 100 of them, but I don't even have them all. But I want to follow this, like, this course, because it'll take us to something very interesting. So Manicheans, Mani also was in Babylon. They were influenced by the Mandeans, or Mandeanism, and that's very important. We'll get into that in a moment. But what Mani did is he inherited a person by the name of Terebinthus' books of Scythianus. Now, this was a philosopher, and he had the books of Scythianus, and he died. And Mani the slave was given the books by Terebinthus' wife. And he learned all the... she taught him how to read and everything, and he learned all the philosophy. And he went to Babylon with it. This highly influenced the Cathars, like I mentioned. Their idea was the syncretism of all religions. So they wanted to take all religions and make them into one. So now you're into what we're doing now, today, is One World Religion, United Religion Initiative, the UN. It's all the same thing. So continuing on, Terebinthus of Turbo, he's a pupil of Scythianus, and he called himself Buddha, or Buddhas. Settled in Babylon, and he wrote the books for Scythianus, but he wasn't the author. He just wrote them down for him. And Scythianus based his philosophies on Empedocles and Pythagoras. Now, go back further, and we'll I didn't say that Terebinthus was 150 to 222. Roughly.
Now, is that AD or BC?
AD.
Pythagoras was about 500 BC. Go ahead.
Yeah, but he was influenced by those philosophers.
Right.
And we'll get back to that part. So,
well, I think that the important thing is that there's this continuity of these ancient philosophies of the mystery of religions, from Pythagoras to Socrates to Plato to Aristotle to Alexander the Great. And, of course, this takes you up about 230 B.C. And then, of course, you carry this forward to the Gnostics and the Manichaeans. But it's always the same philosophy, just with different names. Would that be a fair statement?
I think it's exactly true. And I'll show that. The Scythianus person, he was from 100 to 200. Some of these dates you can't pin down exactly, but that's roughly within that time frame. He was a Scythian, which is interesting, too, because if you get into some of the British claims of being some sort of royal Jewish line, that came from Scythian or Scythia. But now you're going to start to see some things here. He was an Alexandrian religious teacher, and he wrote four books. I don't recall the names, but they're kind of interesting, like books of wisdom type of things like that. And so he was influenced by Empedocles and Pythagoras. So, you know, go back to them, and now you're into Greek philosophy. So you're at Empedocles is like 490 B.C. to 430 B.C. Greek philosopher, pupil of Anaxagoras. Now, he believed in the cosmogenic theory of four elements. So now you start to get to our modern ideas of science. The theory of natural selection. No, it was not Darwin. I'm sorry, everyone. He thought of this many years before. The speed of light. Transmigrations of the souls, which is a wonderful New Age idea as well. Also, all these people seem to be very much into being vegetarians, and that's also part of the philosophy that there's more light in vegetables when you eat them than there is in like meat. They believe in light energy. So, you go into Pythagoras, and I think you know Pythagoras pretty well. You're into like 580 BC to 490 BC type of time frame.
A squared plus B squared equals C squared, the basis of a geometry, of course.
Yes.
And I've always said, you know, where did he get that idea? Do you think he just sat down, scratched his head, and said, you know, I think A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I believe that the square root of the two sides of a isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the hypotenuse. Did he really do that? Or, of course, no, he tapped into the secret knowledge that come from the mystery religions, which he'd studied and before he returned to Greece and to set up his own school to teach the mysteries. But go ahead.
Yes, and this wasn't just, you know, before I researched this, I thought, well, yeah, Pythagoras, that's all I know about him from, you know, basic algebra, etc. But there was a cult of Pythagoras. It was, and it goes on and on and on through history. After his time, where he was worshipped, and the cult during his day, they were very mystic. It's all about sacred geometry, numerology, and that leads you into Kabbalah as well. And he was highly influential with Plato. I'm just trying to think of anything else. He was ascetic as well, metaphysics. Moral reform. He was also a vegetarian, and he traveled to the Near East sometime before 500 BC, and his students were his students taught Socrates, they taught Plato, taught Aristotle, he taught Alexander the Great. So now you're getting back into, you know, sort of the ancient Greek. Let's go back to the Mandaeans. Now, there's some confusion with the names, just that they sound so similar. There's the Manichaeans, and then there's the Mandaeans. And the Mandaeans are they say that most articles say that they're ancient and they can't really place them. Well, I did a bunch of discovery on this, and I found out that they're the oldest known Gnostics, and they believe in all the same things, mostly that the knowledge of life, light is incredibly important, and they honor John the Baptist, which many of the Gnostics seem to worship him more than anybody else. I'm not clear on exactly all of that, but I admit I don't know everything here. But what's interesting is I discovered that the Mandaeans, which they exist today, still today in Iran and Iraq, and some of them actually got moved out of Iraq because of the war, they're descendants of the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans are the Babylonians. And they had to move out of Babylon when the Persians took over Babylon around 537. Babylon was overthrown. So they were pushed out, and their philosophy moved with them. Now, I believe that the Persian empire that overthrew Nebuchadnezzar, which was Cyrus the Great, I believe that, like with many of these, this mystery religion, it absorbs those who even conquer it. And that's, some people believe that that is the case with Persia and with Greece. And what's key to this is the captivity of the Jews as well, because Nebuchadnezzar captured the Jews, held them, and taught them, they learned all the mysteries out of Babylon. And then when they were let go, and they were quite adept at the mysteries. For whatever reason, they were said to be the most highly adept in all the various types of things. So they went out, and they ended up in Greece. And this is where it gets really interesting, is when Greece actually rises, becomes a power, they're doing, and that's through Alexander the Great, of course, and creating Alexandria, which becomes a great center for mysticism and Gnosticism. That's where most of it comes out of, which to me proves that it is a government operation to go out and infiltrate all the religions. What I was going to say is that you get into the Greeks, and one big thing is the Hellenization of the Jews. Now, this goes on for quite a while, and this is, I found fascinating, is that Josephus says that the Jews were divided, now this would have been by the government, into three sects, these are called the Essenes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. This is around 145 BC. And these are three sects of philosophical schools based on Greek models used for Hellenization of the Jews, which the Assyrians were fighting. Now, the Assyrians were people who wanted to not be Hellenized. They were Jews that didn't want to be taken over. But what the strategy here was is that the Greeks would go out with, just like they did with the Gnostics, or was done later with the Gnostics, is come up with three different versions with different philosophies, blend them with things, and see which one would work. And I believe that's sort of the strategy, and apparently the Pharisees was the one that kind of won out and ruled afterwards. And what they became after the Hellenization was over, and that occurred after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, was they basically became an offshoot of the government of the time. So this is a government-controlled religion, and they became rabbinic Judaism. So I'm not saying that, you know, all rabbis are bad and that, but it's got to be considered that this is a infiltration of Judaism. Now, you've got the infiltration of Christianity done in a very similar way later. And I just thought it was fascinating to follow that through and see that this is, in my opinion, this is occurring today with Islam, because we know that Islam, and I honestly haven't read a great deal about it, but I do know that Islam has been corrupted by both the British MI6 and the American CIA, because they're the ones who funded all the radical Islam. And now they're being punished for the radicalization. I know you've talked about it before, the ABCs of Jihad, if you recall.
Right. Of course, are they being punished? Or, of course, is this exactly what we wanted, was this radical form of Jihad, yeah, so that we could have an enemy, the best enemy that money could buy? In fact, what most people don't understand, it was the CIA and the Israelis who formed Hamas. And, of course, they're the enemy there in Palestine today. Oh, what strange situations exist out there. Most people don't know anything about. Well, that's covered in a book called The Devil's Game, which we do carry. Well, Joel, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program before we let you go.
Okay. Well, what I've discovered, in my opinion, is that I followed this back to, it took me all the way back to Babylon and the Babylonian Empire. And you can follow that empire to the Persian Empire, and the philosophies moved there. They then moved to the Greek Empire. And these all rise and fall at the same time. And then, that then moved into the Roman Empire. And you can follow this, and you can follow the philosophies, and they continue to this day. And the latest one is the New Age movement, which is essentially a blending again of different religions, Eastern Oriental religions with Christianity. And the New Age movement, in their old writings, the Theosophists admitted that's what they were going to do. And they would use Christianity and, like, subvert it and take it over and use it as a tool, an engine, for their own religion. And I know Constance Cumbies mentioned some discoveries she's had about that. And that's why I wanted her to listen to this show, because I don't know if she understands the breadth of this and the length of time this has been going on. But it's basically a war against God. That's what you said, and it may sound crazy, but the history shows it. And if this is true, then what's really the truth? And what are we being led into? Or what ideas have we been led to believe, like Darwinism being true when it's a theory and there's no truth to it?
Well, I certainly agree, and I believe that Christianity is the true religion, but I believe it's been under attack since its very inception, and of course that attack is being refined and honed today. There is a conspiracy against God, and this is what it's all about. And once you understand that, so much of what's going on makes sense. So much of the horror that's going on in the world today is simply a manifestation of the work of the Luciferians, who are promoting war. Why? Because war gives them power over the lives of people. They lie, they're deceitful, they use evil to advance their cause. They believe that the end justifies the means, that it's all right to use evil to pursue your goal. And until people understand this is what we're up against, so much of what's going on really doesn't make sense. Well, our guest has been Joel Kalishevsky. And Joel, when will the book be ready?
Honestly, I think about probably in another year.
All right, fine. Well, you've done a phenomenal amount of research, and I know we probably just touched on the very beginning of this, haven't we?
Oh, yes. We didn't even get into Kabbalah and things like that I never wanted to get into either, but this all leads to it. So it's a huge amount of time to cover.
All right, we're out of time, Joel. We'll talk to you later. God bless, and thanks very much for being with us. Fascinating 2 hours.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest this evening, Joe Kalishevsky, and of course we're talking about Gnosticism, and we just began to get really into this subject. There is so much more here, and it would take us into the teachings of the Kabbalah, which were basically the codification of the ancient mysteries as they were identified and when they were known in ancient Babylon. A fascinating material, important because it is influencing what's going on today. The Gnosticism, the Gnostics are alive and well today, and some of our leading people will tell you they believe in God. They just don't tell you which God they believe in. Well, we'll be talking about this more at another date, but I'd like to know your thoughts on what we've been talking about tonight. If you'd like to hear more about Gnosticism, or we'll do another program on it and try to get into a great deal more in the way of detail. Well, anyway, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon you, if you believe in what we're doing, trying to explain what's going on politically and culturally and ideologically and financially today, going back into the spiritual forces that are running the world, why we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs on the Internet 9 hours a day, 5 hours, pardon me, 4 hours live. Our early morning program is not on our Internet site. That's done on the American Freedom Network. But you can listen to our programs archived. You can listen to our programs on MP3, or you can listen to the live. Record them, give them to other people, try to get them to listen, to begin to understand. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll want to get the DVD on the hidden secret, the forbidden secret, the forbidden secret, and then that you'll want to get our talk on the planned police state and get the syllabus that goes with that, because it will begin to take you into this whole other dimension. And, of course, we will actually conclude telling you who is energizing this move towards the dictatorship in the United States of America. And we will actually give you the quotations and even copies of some of their writings. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are not imaginary, they're real. And if you'd like a copy of the working of the spiritual hierarchy, which is put out by the Lucius Trust, a Luciferian organization, of course, the descendants of Alice Bailey, who channeled over 20 books from a demonic spirit named Joao Cool. Well, we'll be glad to provide you the pamphlet on the working of the spiritual hierarchy. If you simply request it, if you order some of the other products we carry here, we do hope that many of you out there will certainly want to go to our website. You want to find out how they killed Martin Luther King. Why, we have a book, the execution, pardon me, we have a four-tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King. And then, of course, we have a book called The Act of State, written by William Pepper, who represented the King family in the trial that was held to determine what part the American government played in the murder of Martin Luther King. You never heard of the trial, you say? Well, of course you wouldn't. The media is controlled, but it's all covered in the book. An active state and the four-tape set, you need to get them together. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will want to get the other material that's available on Radio Liberty, going into weather modification. We've got a great new DVD, Dr. Gartner Nicholson, the terrible new diseases that have been produced in our government laboratories, terrible new diseases that are, of course, affecting millions of Americans today. We hope that you'll certainly want to get the DVD of The Emergence by Constance Cumby, or my four-tape set or four-CD set of my interviews with Constance Cumby, so it's information available at Radio Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like a free catalog. We'll ordinarily send it to you in CD form unless you request a written one, but we'll be glad to send it to you. And then, of course, you can get our medical catalog, our emergency food catalog, to begin making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. Please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
There are many people asking questions. afternoon. Good evening, ladies.